this year, we decided that each woman giving her testimony would have a written introduction from her husband.
How lovely.
The first testimony is Erin Yao, and I'm going to read what your husband wrote about you. Have you heard this yet?
I have.
Okay. What can I say about my wife? Oh, how lovely and precious of a woman that is mine. She's a mother to my two beautiful girls, and she teaches and models Jesus to them every day. She has been my best friend for the last 11 years, faithful, forgiving, and my lover. She is steadfast in the gospel and a comfort and a source of wisdom to many. She is humble, simple, and almost always says sorry first when we fight. She is hospitable and gracious and giving of herself even when it hurts. She is a student of the word, a woman of prayer, and directs me to Jesus when I need it most. Oh, how lovely and precious of a woman that is mine. Ladies, this is Erin.
Thank you to my lover, Tracy, for that great intro. Anyway, good evening, ladies. As previously mentioned, my name is Erin Yao, and I would just like to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to share of God's goodness and grace in my life. Often in CG, my husband and I encourage our members to share their testimonies with one another as we believe it is a great setting to practice telling your stories of God's faithfulness in the presence of Christian brothers and sisters. It would have been a shame to turn this opportunity down because I believe that God's story of my life was not written just for me, but also for you. I know I don't know many of you in this room, but my hope is that by the end of my testimony sharing, you will have only one perception of me, that I am a loved daughter of the King, brought near and desperately in need of grace in Jesus. It's difficult to remember a time in my life before I met Jesus. It was one Sunday when I was 6 years old that my life changed and I was adopted into the family of God. Over lunchtime, my brother had somewhat abruptly shared with me that I was not a believer and I would spend eternity apart from God. This obviously troubled me, and I went to my brother to fish out the truth. Lo and behold, he was right, and my mom shared with me the gospel, that all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and I, Erin, was one of those who had sinned. That evening, amongst my entire family, I prayed that Jesus would come into my life, transform me, and give me a new hope in him. Little did I know that going to heaven at the end of my life was just one of the amazing blessings God graciously gives us. In the past many years, God taught and continues to teach me that heaven is not just something for when we die, but that King Jesus already brought the kingdom of heaven down to us now and calls me to live for it. The rest of my story is about God teaching me to put off the kingdom of now and me and to live victoriously in Christ for the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because Jesus is better. Jesus didn't always seem better to me, and I let other lesser values and idols take hold of my life. But God said that he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. But oh, what work it is to put off this worldly kingdom's clothing and to daily put on the white robes from the kingdom of heaven. As I was reflecting on my life, I can see at least three major struggles that continue to wage against me. The first is with self-righteousness, the second is with insecurity, and the last is with anxiety. I can't claim to have fully conquered these, but I can attest to God being true to his word that he would continue to work in me until Jesus comes again. Throughout my former Christian years, growing up in church, I don't believe I fully understood God's grace for me, for I felt like I merited it. I came from a Christian home. I never drank, smoked, partied, hardly swore, rarely gossiped, and steeped myself in ritual and religious practices such as church at least several times a week. It was difficult for me to find sin in my life. I'd search my heart and come up empty of anything I needed to work on or submit to Christ. I was really good. It was only in my time examining scripture and allowing the word of God to pierce my soul that I recognized how truly depraved I was. The closer I looked, the more I could see my blemishes, and the more I realized how much I needed my Savior to save me from myself. It was made clear to me that even my righteous deeds were like a polluted garment, and that even I could no longer claim my right standing before Him because of my deeds. I'm still a work in progress. God continues to show His unmerited favor to me in so many ways, 100% of His blessings entirely undeserved. My confidence is not in my own works, but that Jesus' works are better. And in fact, His work on the cross is complete. I know that I cannot add to my spiritual status by doing more good things. Instead, He calls me to continually put off self-righteousness and be clothed with Christ. Insecurity has been the most long-standing issue I've dealt with throughout my childhood and still to this day. Certain gifts, talents, and outward appearances that I once coveted as a child have been simply replaced with feelings of inadequacy surrounding motherhood, work, and even leadership in church. It's a hard sin to pinpoint because it's been so pervasive and has somewhat become my identity. There are times when I've chosen to fight, chosen to claim those thoughts captive and bring them to the cross, and times where I just lay there and let those thoughts relentlessly attack me. There's a lie from Satan that tells me the struggle is not worth fighting. I will never be a conqueror and always be conquered. However, as a mom of two girls, I know this is not the end of my story. This cycle of sin can and should stop with me. My desire is for my girls and I to be free from the covetousness that plagues most of the human race. That our beauty is not defined by what we do, what we look like, what we have, but instead imputed upon us by the work of Jesus Christ. My prayer is that the words of this psalm will ring true in my heart. I praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. Praying that God would continue to give me the wisdom to speak into the lies that we easily believe about ourselves, that I would be able to taste the freedom that I so desire in Christ and know that I am beautiful in His sight. Indeed, we were made beautiful before God because of Jesus' scars. Anxiety has been another reality that I faced most recently surrounding the birth of my first child a little over 3 years ago. I had always dreamed about becoming a new mom. I felt I was primed and ready for this role. The day she arrived and the week following was filled with incredible bliss. I had a baby and she was mine. I was sleep deprived, but so happy. We had a beautiful future ahead as a family of three. It wasn't until the seventh day that intrusive thoughts came, thoughts of self-harm and harm toward my infant girl. I was so afraid. As time went on, I became paralyzed with fear and anxiety of my new reality, and I quickly started looking for an escape. I no longer wanted this life or this child or this family of three. One particular instance, I sat in my bathroom staring at a bottle of bleach. The only choice I had stared me straight in the face, but I couldn't do it because I realized it may not prove to be a sure end. It was then when I became truthful with my husband and family and slowly started walking through the painful journey of healing from what is labeled as postpartum depression. Thoughts of suicide became a daily occurrence in those early days, but also thoughts of God's promises leaked through into my darkness. The scripture I had once memorized began to penetrate, and even though I felt joyless and uncertain, they proclaimed hope and promise. Through my community of believers, my family, my husband, and so many strong mothers who had fought this battle before me, I was prayed for and lifted high. Jesus met me so many times during those first few months and showed me His face. He provided me manna and quail when I was wandering through the desert of mental illness and allowed me to drink His living water. Since then, I would say my struggles with anxiety have gotten better but are not completely gone. I continue to abide in Him and thank Him daily for the gift of a sound mind to see Him clearly and to know that to live for Him is better because Jesus is better. So if you are here and you struggle with self-righteousness, remember with me that Jesus' works are better and finished. And if you struggle with insecurity, remember that Jesus died when you were His enemy and gave you His own life. His worth is your worth before God, and that is why Jesus is better. And if you struggle with anxiety and suicidal thoughts, remember that Jesus himself is your peace, and that to live for Jesus each day is better than listening to the lies of Satan. My study recently of Ephesians has proven fruitful as I reflect on my testimony. For it is by grace that I have been saved, through faith, and this is not of myself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that I cannot boast. My true and only boast is this, that I would boast all the more gladly of weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I want to leave you with lyrics that have become my anthem song during this last season of my life. Your kindly rule has shattered and broken the curse of sin's tyranny. My life is hidden neath heaven's shadow. Your crimson flood covers me. In all my sorrows, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. In all my victories, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. Than any comfort, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. More than all riches, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. Our souls declaring Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. Our song, eternal, Jesus is better. Make my heart believe. Thank you.